This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to 5-on-3. I'm your host, Trey Rodriguez, joined by my co-hosts, Max Spitza and Abby. Starting off with you guys first, how is your week and how is today going for y'all?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. I don't know. It's weird. I have this weird little... It's not used to having this thing on my mic, so I wanted to make sure everyone can hear me. But having a good time. Glad to be back in the studio. It's been a rough couple weeks as a Rangers fan, so glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm good as well. It's getting colder here again, so that's unfortunate. But I'm excited for the Olympics. I think it'll be really fun to watch.
And I mean, you know, we'll get to this later, but it was pretty sad hearing Panarin's name mentioned in that intro and him for, you know, like, it's outdated now. Like, it's very unfortunate for what happened, but we'll get to that talk later of Panarin when we talk about the Rangers. But, all right, first off, just want to go over some general stuff. A lot of this stuff that I actually want to cover is not even the NHL. So first off, start with Team Canada, of course, or just the Olympics in general, but mainly a lot of news going on here with Team Canada. So there's been two replacements for the team. Sam Bennett's going to replace Cirelli, and Jarvis is going to replace Braden Point. So, I mean, I think a lot of these picks here would be expected. Sam Bennett is just a very experienced guy. He's played in two cup finals now in the past 2 years, and I mean, he's clearly part of a winning culture. He plays with great grit, and I mean, Jarvis as well, a lot of experience on his hands. Good people to replace these two injured people. But I mean, really what I want to talk about is Bedard and Hyman. Do you guys think those were snubs?
No, I mean, if you really think about it, Canada's never going to be a country that is scraping for players to fill a national roster. So I think Bedard, I mean, he's a great talent. He's having a great season. He just hasn't necessarily earned the spot just because of his lack of experience. And then also going back to your Sam Bennett point, I think it's an interesting choice because the Olympics are a lot more skill-based. And he's definitely more of a he's a grittier player, I would say. He's going to get up in people's faces. He's going to have some hard hits. But this isn't the Four Nations. It's the Olympics. So there is no fighting. There is no you can't go out and just truck a guy in the Olympics. So I think it's going to be very interesting with him out there. But speaking about Bedard, I think it's he's a great player. I just don't think he's necessarily earned his spot. I mean, you see this with national teams in all these different sports. Think about Caitlin Clark with the Olympics. You know, they didn't want to add her because she didn't have the experience. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what you're going to get.
I honestly kind of ridiculous.
Well, no, but I mean, if people see it the same way with Bedard, and I think it's justified not to play him, not having him on your team, you're not necessarily going to be worse. Mm. Having him on your team, maybe you're a little bit better, but I don't think the people playing instead of him are necessarily worse than him. I think they just have a lot more experience.
Yeah, I don't think that you needed Bedard on your team, like you said, and I really agree with your point on Sam Bennett because he's a very physical player, and like you said, the Olympics is kind of a different game, so to speak, and it'll be interesting to see how that kind of physicality will translate, especially with the other members on the roster.
Okay, I mean, personally, with Bedard, I think if he never got injured, I think he would definitely deserve a spot on the team. I mean, you know, as a Sharks fan, biggest Macklin Celebrini guy. I mean, barely both the same age. Macklin does play a much different brand of hockey, a bit more well-suited for a smaller ice to the Olympics. But, I mean, Bedard definitely, at that beginning of the season, he really earned that spot. But that injury was just kind of unfortunate. And since he's gotten back, he's been definitely not his, you know, self before he's been hurt. So I think it's definitely fair to leave him off now. It's a bit unfortunate, that injury, how he probably was on the way of making a team. But, you know, next Olympics, he'll absolutely be there for sure. I know some people were upset about Hyman, but I don't know. I think he's a very one-dimensional player, and I think Jarvis and Sam Bennett just fit this mold so much better. Next up that I want to talk about, very briefly, but so the Gavin McKenna assault news. So basically, as of recent, his felony charges got dropped.
That was like an hour ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So very recently, his felony charges got dropped. So now it's more just, he's not going to be classified as a criminal anymore if anything happens. But, I mean, this is kind of wild. Like, I did not get Gavin McKenna to really be this kind of, like, you know, be this, like, kind of guy who would really drop the gloves in real life in the bar. But, like, I'm wondering how this might affect his draft stock, if it's going to go down, if it's going to go down or not. I mean, there's already a lot of conversation with Ivar Stenberg, and there's a lot of conversation that he might go number one even before this happens. So I'm almost kind of wondering, just like, it's just going to lock his spot in now.
I think that it's going to definitely affect it, because you hear a lot about people's character when you're talking about leaders on a team. And we've seen a lot of the other first draft picks in the past couple years kind of really shape things for their teams and kind of bring a new air of like energy into it. And so I think in drafting, teams are going to take a step back and think about this. And you also always hear about, oh, that player is a stand-up guy, things like that. And he's young. They're already not putting their full trust in their youngest player. They want more experience, some more tenured talent to teach them and shape them, so to speak. So I think it'll definitely make every team really take a deeper look into it.
I don't think it'll affect it at all. I mean, if he were to get drafted this year, which I still think he will still play one or two years in college after that.
You think so?
Most of, yeah. You're seeing it a lot more often now. You're seeing a lot of kids choosing to stay in college.
He's number one. He's going to be in the NHL.
Well, I think it just depends with what Penn State does with him. So I don't think it's an issue with the NHL. He's still going to get drafted first round. I think he's an amazing talent. Shout out to my friends at Penn State. Shout out to Brucey, because he is actually who notified me of this. But I mean, I really don't think it affects much. It's hockey after all. When more and more of the story came out, it seemed like it was more and more him being pushed into a corner, and him just kind of defending himself. The guy waited outside of the bar for him. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that are being added. The biggest issue is going to be if Penn State allows him to continue to play, just because, you know, that's going to hurt your stock if you went from playing every day or practicing every day to no longer being on a college team.
Right.
And so it just depends. And I did see a funny joke that people were like, he really saw that he might go to the Canucks.
Yeah.
And therefore,
he's like,
I'd rather be in prison than the Canucks.
Fair enough, honestly.
Which is very true. I think everyone would do the same. But no, I think he's fine. He might have been losing stock anyways.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, he's playing great. Great game in the stadium series. That game was unbelievable to watch.
That was a nice way to kind of regain some stock there.
And I think, well, this happened after. So this happened the night of that, which is crazy that they allowed that. Like,
you know,
it was just interesting. I don't think anyone really had any negative things to say about the situation once everything that came out about it.
Mm.
You know, we can't say what was said on air, but some things were said. And, you know, I think no NHL GM is going to hear that and hear what he did because of it, and, you know, discount him on it. The NHL's losing its physicality, but doesn't mean that they don't want physical players. So I think it's a good thing that, you know, he stood up for his mom. I don't think he'll be that penalized for it.
Yeah, I honestly don't really think so too much either. It's kind of just interesting to see that happen, because it's just kind of been a nightmare year for McKenna here. Like, he really went from Bedard's Celebrini, Schaefer, and you're like, oh, you got this next slam run generational talent. And then it's been a really, really bad year for McKenna. I mean, for a lot of other hockey players, he's having a fantastic year, but for what we expect out of McKenna, I mean, it's just kind of been a bit down. But besides that, now actually, like,
One more thing on McKenna. I think that it's not going to affect his draft. I mean, I do think it'll affect it a little bit. I don't completely agree that I think the coaches will still take a look at it, but is something that, being a young player, it's going to follow you around. Even though it is, you know, there were other aspects to it, it is a big news story that we haven't necessarily seen these other first draft picks have. So it's just something that I think will be interesting to see how that kind of shapes out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just important to, like, cover someone who's, like, probably going to go top three, at least, in the drafts. And this is an interesting situation to come out. Really came out of nowhere. But actually going on to, like, the NHL now. All right, first of all, no more hockey until after the Olympics. No more NHL hockey. So, and a lot of teams right now are in a weird situation, and I'm kind of curious what your guys' thoughts are on what teams will benefit the most from this Olympic reset.
I'm not really sure who's going to benefit. I know I think some teams are going to be negatively impacted by it, but, I mean, certain teams, like, I think the Wild, the Sharks, the really young teams, I think, will benefit just because
Sharks need it bad, right?
Because they have less players in these national teams, right?
We have four guys, I think.
Yeah, which is really low for when you're thinking about a lot of these teams, though. Like Tampa Bay, they're an older team, and they have like 10 guys, which is like these older players are playing extra games that are high stress.
I was going to say their core is older, so just those days off are going to do a wonder for them.
Well, they're, a lot of those older guys are playing though in the Olympics.
That's also a good point there.
So it's like, I think some teams like that will be affected. I think the Wild are going to love this break because they're young guys, not a lot of them are playing. And the Wild are
they're
as good
doing,
as they
yes,
are
they're
because
already
of the
doing
Wild.
So well. They're getting really close to Colorado spot actually.
I know, I really like the Wild. I've said this a month ago. I think the Wild are a sneaky team in the West that are going to, you know, maybe make some impacts.
Like, I'm actually kind of surprised with what's going on with them. Now kind of drifting away from the conversation a little bit. Because, you know what, now we'll just get into this. We'll get into standings now, really. The Wilds, I mean, they're trying to actually look off of Jesper Wallstedt, apparently, which I think is kind of interesting. He had his really amazing hot streak back late last year, but he's kind of cooled off a little bit now, really, as really all the rookie goalies have. And besides that, though, I mean, the team's just on fire right now. I mean, you look at the standings, right? Colorado, they're just kind of falling off a cliff right now. I mean, they have just been losing games, and every once in a while there's a win sprinkled in there, but they are really struggling right now, and they're getting closer and closer to losing that top spot. And the Wild and the Stars in the Central are just coming straight for it. They're both like 5 or 6 points behind them. And I don't know. I really thought for sure Colorado was going to be a lock for the President's Trophy. But, I mean, you know, I guess after a while, you just kind of get burnt out of winning and stuff. And playing at that high level for so long is kind of impossible. So, you know what? If anything, I think this break could really benefit them. Yeah, they have a lot of players going to the Olympics. But, you know, for the guys that don't. The guys who are not going, every line needs that break. But anyway, Vegas still on top of the Pacific. Their overtime loss emergence. I don't really see them doing anything in the playoffs when it comes to it. And then in the west of the West, Utah and the Ducks, they got good possession of wild card spot right now. Well, unfortunately, my Sharks just keep on falling lower and lower. A few points out of the playoffs now. Very upsetting. Go to the East. Tampa and Carolina are tied for the top of the East right now. Both pretty scary teams. Tampa's really kind of actually surprised me quite a lot. I thought they were washed. I really thought that they were done because they're old. They're old, like you said, and they're just Kucherov is just absurd right now. Absolutely insane. The Islanders are starting to kind of lose their spot in the wild card because of the resurgence of the Blue Jackets. They're gunning up the rankings since Rick Bowness took over. And the wild card spots in the division, or conference, is Buffalo and Boston, who are hanging on to it with a good amount of space, but there's definitely still some competition for some stuff going on there.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Islanders were creeping up a little bit. I mean, I think it's just, you know, looking at these standings, I remember doing the preview episode a couple months, and we're thinking that the Rangers would be up here and the Devils would be up there as well. And so yeah. It's just funny that we're talking about the Islanders. Yeah, I just think that they're creeping up. I wasn't expecting it. I don't have much to say on the Islanders. More the Rangers and Devils crashing and burning. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's definitely, like, it's a lot of the standings, I feel like, are to be expected. Like, I expected a lot of these top guys. I didn't think Tampa was going to be this good, but it's still fair to assume that they would be a playoff team. But, like, you know, you got the Penguins in there, and no one expected the Penguins to be here at this point. No one really expected the Islanders to be here either. So, like, the East is pretty interesting, and it's a very competitive conference. I mean, the East, when you look at it, compare it to the West in that Central Division has the three best teams in the league. But besides that, the rest of the West is pretty lackluster compared to the Eastern Conference, because all the Eastern Conferences are so good. I mean, like, the Rangers are the worst team in the East, but they still have a better record than, like, five teams in the West. So it kind of shows the competition level that's going on there. Really, I think it'd be pretty interesting to see what goes on after this Olympic break now, see some of these teams get rest or not get much rest at all, like the Tampa Bay Lightning. Who knows? Maybe they might start fall off a little bit, because I mean, you know, when you got guys like Kucherov out there who are playing 82 games anyway, put on those Olympic games, they might be playing 95 games throughout the whole entire NHL season. That's a lot on the body, especially for an older guy. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But that's it for the general news. Now let's go on to our favorite Rangers, shall we? So obviously, most important thing we got here is the Panarin trade. I mean, this is just, what a shocker. I mean, like, they got nothing in return for him. They got a conditional third and a fourth pick. And then Greentree from the Canes, who's, like, a late first rounder. I mean, just, what are you doing, Drury?
I know what Drury's doing. He's burning the whole team down. But the trade was not what the Rangers needed to do. I know they were respecting Panarin. And it was in his clause, in his contract, that he kind of has a say where he's heading. So many other teams were offering so many better things.
Yeah.
First round picks, second round picks, like, people were offering it. He's led the Rangers in scoring for the last 7 years. I mean, he is the face of the Rangers, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And to give him away for what seems like pennies on the dollar. Was kind of just, I just felt like it was, you were trying to get him off before the Olympics. You were trying to get him out of there. And no one was really, you weren't really liking too many offers. Maybe he was rejecting a couple of them. But I mean, it was not what you wanted to see. Was hoping to see at least a second round pick.
I know.
With a trade. The Kings also just extended him right off the bat.
For not even that much. It was like 2 years, $10 million AAV.
Yeah, which is not even what he wanted.
And, like, the Rangers are keeping 50% of his salary.
Right? Yeah, so that's like, he said he wanted a $50 million contract when he was leaving. And then he got, So I don't really know what the thought process with it was. It's like a very odd thing. It hurts less than, like, let's say Trouba or someone like that getting traded away, because it was pretty sudden when that happened.
Right.
I think every Rangers fan has accepted a long time ago that he was going to be traded after the season they've been having. So I just thought it was very interesting. Did not get his worth for it. I think what it came down to is they probably panicked and, you know, they were like, we're not getting any offers that he's accepting, or we're not getting any offers that we like. We just need to get rid of him, or we're going to lose it completely. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to lose anything we would benefit from trading him. We lose if we don't trade him this year.
Right.
And I mean, he's going to help the Kings though. I mean, Kings are
of course,
battling for that battling for that spot. And I think they're a team that without him would win a wild card spot. So with him, I think are going to definitely make the wild card.
I sure hope not. But that's for sure. But, you know, the Rangers are in just a strange position right now with, you know, they want to do a retool, but it doesn't really feel like a retool. And they still have, like, total superstars on their team. They got Shesterkin, who signed up forever.
You have Larfinieri, who's also signed up forever. For six more years after this year.
Like $7 million.
For an insane amount of money.
I mean, and he's just not producing at all at that level. You got Mika there, too. Like, I understand you're trying to do a retool and build around it, but, I mean, for being so for real, retools don't really work in the NHL. You really got to commit to the rebuild, it seems, a lot of time. And I just don't really see whatever the Rangers are doing right now panning out. I mean, you know, the Olympic roster freeze just happened. Trade deadline still on March 6th. So, a long time away, but, I mean, you really got to think they're going to be big sellers at the deadline because they need to... They need to blow it up. I mean, quite frankly, I mean,
it's hard to do it with the contracts they have. Because, like, I mean, you talked about like Mika. Mika's having one of his best years.
Mika can stay.
He's having an amazing year.
Yeah,
he has multiple hat tricks already this year.
But like, you need to find a way to get off Lafreniere. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, I think the thing is, you don't want to blow it up too much because, I mean, Mika's 32. Chesty's pretty old. He's not old, but he's just like, you know, you see what can happen. You can get injured, and then you're stuck. I mean, I love Quick. I love Quick. I've always been a Quick guy. I mean, you could ask anyone who ever talked to me. I love Jonathan Quick.
I love him, too. He's great.
That's awesome.
Can he play an entire year? No, he can't. Can he play three games in a row? No, he cannot. He can debatably play two. Debatably play two in a row.
On a good week.
But, I mean, it's almost like you that's why the Panarin trade is so crazy, because you needed picks, very, very quickly needed picks to try and build this team up around Mika, Chesty, even Trocheck.
I think Trocheck's going to go.
I mean, I mean the person who should – we'll get into this, but the person who should go is JT Miller, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I just don't think that Panarin was – obviously he needed to go – like this season, but right before the Olympics, I just think that like you said, they panicked, and it's not benefiting them in the way that it totally could have. But yeah, what are your thoughts on JT Miller here?
I mean, when you watch Panarin play in a Rangers game, he skates so differently than every other Ranger on the ice.
I agree with that.
Except for Mika. Mika recently like halfway, not even halfway, like one third of the way through the season, he started to play with a little bit more passion. But I mean, maybe he's even just looking. I mean, I think Mika, I mean, he was like the heart of the team this year, I feel like. But those two are the only two, when they're on the ice, you can tell they're like 100% in it.
And it's funny.
And they're trying to win every game. I feel like you don't see that with anyone else. I mean, Panarin gets the puck, and he is moving down. He's moving. I mean, yeah, he's
really
a talented player, but... like, I feel like you see it more out of him and Mika than anyone else.
And I agree with us skating, too. I thought that was just... I remember just a few games ago, I think, when the Sharks were playing against them. Or not a few games. Like, a little while back, watching Sam Dickinson guard him. And he skates, like... his skating is unreal. I never really got to see his skating like that, really. And, oh my God, just... he looks like he's literally in a video game with his back skating.
I know, he's unbelievable.
He just really has such good edges. I mean... just a great player. It's sad to see him go, but it needed to happen. Rangers are in kind of a strange situation right now, especially when you look at the post-game interview that JT Miller provided yesterday, where when he was asked, all right, what's going to happen here? How is your team going to kind of reset, find its mojo? And JT Miller responds with, I literally don't know.
Yeah, the first time he's been honest all year. All year. I mean, I'm a beat reporter for the Rangers. Like, I probably shouldn't be saying all this, but like all year he's been giving promises, and I feel like these promises have not necessarily been truthful promises, or he thinks he could fully do it. I mean, there was one game in particular. They lost. I forgot who they lost to, but it wasn't a good game. It was a very bad game, and he was like, we're just not, we don't have enough passion. Like, we're not playing with enough, like, energy, blah, 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 blah. I happen to beat report the next game. He doesn't play with, like, he doesn't lead by example in a way, right? Like, and I always thought it was an interesting thing to do is, you know, bring him back after, what was he on, 3-5 years? He was gone, came back, made him captain. That maybe should have gone to Mika, maybe should have gone to Trocheck.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who else do you think?
Like, Trocheck, honestly, would have been my captain. Or even that's Mika.
Trocheck.
I think those two are probably the only two that I would have given it to.
I don't know how you can make someone captain after they return to your team for, like less than half a year.
It was a very odd choice.
Like, it's so
I understand
strange.
he was with the Rangers, you know, when last time the Rangers were exceptionally
but then
well,
after seeing
like especially
what happened
good
in Vancouver,
yeah,
you know, like all that drama there. I mean, it's just such an odd, it's such an odd choice, really. And I mean, I don't know, like JT Miller cannot like he couldn't convince me or inspire me to make a sandwich, man. Like that guy's.
Well,
just...
I also do feel bad just because he kind of was put right in the fire of like a team that wasn't playing very well.
But he did accept the captaincy spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I don't know. I'm pretty hard on him, but like I can understand that it's not him necessarily, right? Like a lot of things had to go well for the Rangers this year when you really look at it. And like, you know, they thought they were. Like everyone thought they were going to go well. Just re-signed Chesty last year. Lefrenieri, long-term contract. I mean, expected a lot out of him. Rempe was going to start playing more. Like, you expect him to maybe get some fights going. There'd be many times where I'd text my buddy and be like, yeah, Rempe needs to start a fight here. Like, we need to get
That's
the energy going.
That's what we need right now.
And then he'd start a fight. The energy would start going. The thing is, Rempe lost a lot of fights this year, so he kind of stopped fighting because he kept losing them. He was choosing the worst people to fight. Like
he got sidelined for weeks fighting Ryan Reeves.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you fighting him? Out of all the people you could have chose to fight, like choose a different night, different person to motivate
like
the
anyone
team.
Else.
Like I know you're 6'9", you're 7'11" on skates. Like you're gonna lose that fight nine times out of ten. But I agree
with kind of just like being at the games, especially last season. I think that there's like needs to be an energy shift. And like you were saying, no one's playing with passion. And I was actually at a game that Rempe wasn't in, and half the chance the entire game were about Rempe because he was bringing the energy last year. So I think that the Rangers team is just almost going a little bit stale, and that they just like, I don't know what
there's
needs
no,
to happen.
No
but like, yeah, there's no story. There's nothing like that I want to see go through, if
yeah,
that makes sense.
You used to have like the kid line, you used to have like Shesterkin was like the guy, you know, and this year like Shesterkin wasn't the guy. The kid line, you know, was already disbanded before this year. JT Miller comes in out of nowhere, becomes captain. I mean, Trocheck is Trocheck. Panarin's a god, but like he's surrounded by people who just like seem not to play, and then Rempe comes on the ice right after every. This is something I've always wanted to say, because I always
you're
think
really
this in
like
my head.
Everything
I'm getting
chest.
Everything off my chest because it was a rough break not being able to co-beat report and having to watch them and watching how they were playing. In between periods, the Zebras come out, the refs come out, and they skate around the ice beautifully. They look unbelievable. And then Rempe comes out, and he does not skate beautifully.
He's like a giraffe learning how to walk.
Literally.
The thing is, though, I love Rempe, and I don't think they should get rid of Rempe. But I saw him once in a pregame not shoot a single puck, stretch the entire pregame, and then at the end hit like 20 little wrist shots right outside the crest. Then he got a shot during the game where he had a wrist shot in front of the crest, and he sent it over the goal. I was like, at least send it into the goalie. Like, I don't know.
like something.
Yeah, it was, dude.
He's kind of like a character.
Like, it's like a weird team right now. Like, I need a documentary on this team.
No.
I need to know what has been going on behind the scenes. Because it's like, all these players are not bad. These players are all, like, representing their countries. Like, obviously, Panarin isn't because, you know, Russia can't.
Russia
but,
can't.
But, like, they're representing their countries. They're playing well. Like, they have moments where it's like, oh, my God, dude. This is against the Florida Panthers game in Miami in the stadium series. I mean.
That was fun.
Like, that was the most insane game. Like, I was watching that, and I was like, where has this been the entire year? I mean, everyone was excited to be there. Probably wasn't a comfortable game, given that they were playing in Miami with the roof open,
yeah,
for whatever reason.
Outdoor games don't make too much sense to me, honestly.
Well, especially in Miami, where it was 60 degrees and they had the roof open.
Thing.
Yeah, I was like, what? I did see this is unrelated, and I'm kind of going on a lot of tangents.
But fine.
I saw this graphic where it was like, this is what needs to happen with like the outdoor and stadium games. The Winter Classics can only be played by teams where it snows. So, like, a certain part of the country where it snows. Then
yeah,
there's, like, the arena games, and then there's, like, the stadium games, and those are, like, the other ones.
You have such a hockey culture in those northern states, too. Why wouldn't you take advantage of it? Like, why are you going to Miami?
It's because, like, they're trying to, like, send their fans down to warm weather because it's starting
winter. The Wild I wouldn't say play at the Vikings because that's, like, an indoor stadium. They should play at Minnesota. Like, they should play at, like, the Gophers Stadium. I don't know if it's big enough, but, like, I mean, the Wild, like, the fact that the Wild haven't had a game, like, an outdoor snow game, because the Wild don't represent just Minnesota. They represent Wisconsin as well. Like, half my family's from Wisconsin. They're all Wild fan, Wild fans. Like, that's because there's no, it's the Badgers and then it's the Wild.
Right.
Like, that's who you support. So, like, the fact that they haven't had a game and it wasn't outside, I mean, imagine this would be kind of like, I think Wisconsinites would hate this. A Wild game at Lambeau Field would be unbelievable. It'd be like the coolest game ever.
Oh.
Thing that you couldn't make that happen. I don't think you'd have to pay like every Wisconsin person like $1 million to let that happen. But that's my two cents about stadium series games.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. I just don't, like, I don't think I want to go to a hockey game in Miami.
The good thing.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
Just before we move on, the
probably
one good
sweating
thing, though,
in the stadium.
Yeah.
Is at least there's one happening in Utah next year, I believe, right? Or in the future. So
I think it's next year.
Next year, yeah. So that's good. You know, that's a pretty cold place. We were talking about that actually last episode.
Are they playing in Utah State?
I have no clue, but I just know they're playing in Utah, and obviously that's a much more ideal place than in Miami. You know, it actually feels like hockey should be there. So, yeah, I mean, looks like, yeah, I might be starting to try to learn a bit from their mistakes of sending every single outdoor game to a warm weather state. But,
yeah, they're playing in 2027 at, not even going to try and pronounce this thing. Rice. Yeah, it's the Utah State.
Okay.
Right? No, University of Utah.
Okay.
Stadium. So, yeah, they are.
So, I mean, at least we're moving to colder weather now. But, all right, we just talked about the Rangers for, like, 20 minutes. So, let's get on to the Islanders. You know, things are going a lot better over there than for the other New York team.
Who would have thought?
So, exactly, right? I mean, just... What a revival of a franchise this year. They just came back from the dead. You got second star of the week, Bo Horvat. 3 goals, 2 assists. Not like your typical stat line for a star of the week, but he did have those 2 game-winning goals during the course of this week. I mean, you know, just... Like, I feel like so many Islanders games are just so full of heroics all the time. I mean, they're always coming... so many last-second goals... Or just game winners. I mean, these guys really do play really gritty games that often do come down to the wire. But, you know, they come out with a win, and that's what's important. Like, it's just always so great to see, like, an 18-year-old Schaefer, like, actually coming up big in the clutch. And which is something that's really hard for young guys to do sometimes. Kids don't live for that moment. They get a bit scared of it sometimes. And Schaefer's just taking that and ran away with it, so...
Yeah, I definitely underestimated him for his first season 100%.
Like, it's... Yeah, exactly. I underestimated him, too. I mean, I thought... going back to Sharks again, I really wanted Schaefer. I thought Michael Misa was still a much more refined player at this point, that he had a much higher floor. Even though I think Mises is pretty good, I mean, you know, Schaefer's just above and beyond. He's incredible.
I remember when they drafted him, and after he was drafted, he said, "We'll never lose to the Rangers again."
Oh, my
God.
I saw that.
I laughed, and I sent that to every Islander fan I know. And I was like, this is who you guys got? Like, this is it? Like, are you for real? You have an 18-year-old saying this right now? Like, it's done for you guys. Like, it's over. The Rangers are never losing again to anyone. And then this year happened. So,
and you know what?
He put his money where his mouth is.
Exactly. And they only... They didn't only sweep the Rangers, but they also swept the Devils as well. So they're completely dominating the Tri-State right now. It's not even fair.
We'll give them this year.
Yeah, I mean,
the Devils will give them a couple more years. The Rangers will give them this year.
Okay.
All right. We'll see about those Rangers. Right, who knows what's going on with them? But you know, besides like looking at Bo Horvat, who you know. Obviously, great player. Schaefer's still a beast, but you also got to look at the goaltending here. Goaltending has always been great on the Islands, but Sorokin right now, I mean, he's not only in the Vezina talks, but he's also in MVP talks as well. And right now, he's repping a .916 save percentage, 20 wins, 13 losses. I mean, he's played pretty great out there. I think he's kind of slowed down a little bit. In recent games, because I don't know, personally, I don't think that 20 win, 13 loss is exactly good enough to get you a Vezina. I think Vasilevskiy, 27 wins, 7 losses. Even like Brandon Boucy with 23 wins, 3 losses. I mean, that's incredible. Like, Sorokin is just being an absolute stud right now out there. I mean, just a .916 save percentage in today's NHL. Like, that's really hard to come by. Maybe 10 years ago when goalies were actually good.
I don't think it was when they were good. I think it was when everyone else wasn't, like, insane scoring goals.
I've always on the side of the goalie. I think goalie play nowadays.
Like, your defenders
so
used
worse.
To not be able to just absolutely, like, score.
Think about the
like,
hat
the
trick list from
now.
This season. Like,
yeah, right, there was 30 in 1 month.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, I agree, but, like, I don't know. I think goaltending was so much better 10 years ago, but, like, those are the kind of numbers you would see 10 years ago. Is like a .916, .920 save percentage, and that's what Sorokin's putting up right now. He's really keeping his team in games a lot because I mean the Islanders' defense is like it's a solid defense. It's nothing incredible. It doesn't have the same mold that it did back in 2020, 2021 when they were a top tier team that was just fully reliant on their defense and then some stupid rebound to come out and then score on offense like. I feel like it is a much more offensively favored team than it was a few years ago now. But luckily, they don't really need to rely that much on that defense anymore because you have Sorokin who's playing out of his mind in cage right now. So he's really helped contribute to the success of the season. Is he going to win the Vezina? I think it's probably either going to be him or Vasilevskiy. But I think Vasilevskiy's going to win it personally. But I think Sorokin still has a very good chance. And it's impressive to see what he's doing here. You know, one of the guys who brought the Islanders back to life. Long Island's a super happy place right now, my hometown. They all love him. So, yeah. I mean, really, the Islanders have really got it going on here. And they get to benefit from a very nice break as well. You're not going to have Sorokin playing. You're not going to have Sorokin playing in the Olympics. You're not going to have Schaefer playing in the Olympics. And there's not really a lot of Islanders who are playing in the Olympics either. So, they're getting the benefit of a ton of rest while other teams like the Rangers are sending guys to the Olympics and they're going to continue to flounder and the Islanders are going to just come back well rested and probably kill everyone.
I mean, did you see the Panthers when they sent the Panthers are sending like 13, 14 people to the Olympics. They're in like third to last. So their season's already over, but
like, it's just like, who wouldn't want Panthers players on their Olympic squad? You know, like they're literally just the definition of winning culture. And, I mean, maybe not this year, but they're missing some important people. So, you can't really fault them for that. But, yeah, I mean, just imagine that team when they get back. They're going to be absolutely exhausted. Yeah. Like, no, there was no break for the Panthers. Absolutely no break at all. But, yeah, Islanders, that's something else you got to look at. It's the break. They're going to get a big break, and they're just going to come back swinging. So, really, really good shape right now. I mean, just by far the best Tri-State team. It's not even a debate at all. I mean, good for them. You know, I as a Long Islander myself, and as an avid Islanders hater, I actually kind of hate them a bit less this year. I don't know. I like what they got going on over there. I like the young kids they drafted.
At least one of the three teams can, like, have some success this year, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, it makes my Long Island friends happy, and I also like that they drafted Eklund. And Schaefer's a great kid. So, you know, good for them. But anyway, let's get on to basically the polar opposite of what's going on over there. A bit more on the Rangers side of things. You got the Devils.
Yeah, and they're not doing too hot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're, like, doing just as bad as the Rangers right now. I mean, it's just what a nightmare situation.
They started out the season strong, too, so I was hopeful. And then it just actually crashed and burned, and it just keeps crashing and burning, and it doesn't seem to be ending.
Like, it's just...
at all.
It's just with them is that, I don't know, like, they always have so much drama going on, and...
always. They never, like, in Tucker's, promo for this pod, he talks, will the Devils stay uninjured? No, they wouldn't possibly have one season where at least everyone is injured at least once. Like,
Jack Hughes, you can't have someone where you're not, you can't have a season where no one's injured and you got Jack Hughes on your team. It's just impossible.
It's just like,
I can't believe he's staying with Tate McRae since she supports the United States.
Like, oh my, that was actually,
that was ridiculous.
We need to talk about that.
People being so freaked out about her promo.
People are mad.
Is annoying me.
She had to post on her story that she was Canadian.
Yeah. I'm like, she's doing a promo. She's getting paid. She's getting paid. All right. She's doing a promo. She's getting paid. Okay, she is like a spokesperson for hockey. She's a spokesperson for Canadian hockey.
Yeah.
Like, fully has always been a supporter of Canadian hockey.
And also the promo didn't,
sorry, she had
didn't
to go get a bag.
Say like US. Like, it was just an overall Olympic promo, and she's wearing red. You know, Canada's colors also the US, but everyone's saying Jack Hughes.
Yeah, she's wearing red. She's wearing full red. That's fully Canadian. This is ridiculous to me. Like, I saw a video at 5 a.m. Don't ask me why I was up at 5 a.m.
you got nights like that sometimes.
It's been the last week, dude. I can't sleep. it's my clock is all messed up. But I watched a 30-minute video about the about all these different people saying stuff, and even like this one guy. He's like on some like Netflix. He's on some show of some kind. Hulu show or something. He used to be like an influencer or something. He's like, how dare she do this? Like, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, especially with everything that happened, blah, 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 all this stuff. I was like, all right, first off, she didn't do it. All right, like she's Canadian. And also, dude, why do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah. Why were you able to find a 30-minute video on this is also shocking to me. Like,
I know how you talk.
Why are people so
people, like, pulling
upset.
All these clips, like, so this is blah, blah. I'm like,
so when
really?
She pointed here,
like
that meant she
like,
hates.
People
like,
care? Like, oh, my God. And she's also, like, there's nothing American in the video besides the
she's
end
wearing
of it.
Full red. And
still, until the end of it where they're, like, the Olympics on NBC. Like... And then they have, like, the, like, obviously if it's an ad being shown in the United States, they're going to, like, show the U.S.
Yeah,
hockey.
Yeah, it's
the U.S. Like,
yes,
they're
going
to show
like...
it. They're going to show it. She probably didn't do it like, oh, like, I am doing
you
this.
You know what? I'm
love,
I'm going to betray like, Canada for yeah. this ad right here.
No.
Not because I'm getting paid so
I
much
know.
Money.
This is, it's so, I don't get it. I don't get, like, what sucks is that they can't fight in this Olympics. I would have loved to see that.
That was such a good part of the Four Nations.
The Four Nations, the U.S. absolutely kicking butt in the Four Nations against Canada was like probably one of my
that
one
was
of
so
the most
fun.
Feelings of, like patriotic feelings of my life.
It literally was like just watching.
Like,
it was so
I was so glad to be American.
Oh, God.
And then we lost in the final. That doesn't even matter. We won and beat them up. Like it was awesome.
that was a great time. I absolutely love that time of the year.
Like they need
they
to like
do that again.
They need to find a random like rink in Milan, even though they can't because they had to build one because
there
there's
no one
rinks.
And it barely works.
There was zero rinks in Milan. It's also I saw the Italian team, not a single one in the NHL. There's some teams that don't have single players in the NHL.
That's like a lot of the sports though. You'll see in the prelims, like for swimming, I know that there's always like one person from the country who's like their only representative, and they're like so far behind. So
or like sometimes you'll see like an American who's like just like swimming for another country, or like
yeah,
like playing a certain thing for another country because, I mean, they weren't good enough to be in the U.S., but like the other country had like 3 people trying out, so it's like
like a full non NHL team against like Jack Hughes, Quinn Hughes, the Tkachuks, like.
Oh yeah,
wow.
That's actually going to be hilarious.
That's just grit right there.
Yeah, seeing Italy play. Every time I see Italy too and see their uniforms, I think of Shorzy. You ever watch that show?
Yes.
Where like the Italian team has like their full uniform is just like the Italian flag, and every time I see their uniforms, I'm like, oh my god, it's Shorzy. Oh, also the Japanese women's team has probably the coolest hockey jerseys.
I'm gonna look it up.
In the Olympics. The men's team didn't qualify, but the women's team did. They actually have insane Olympic jerseys. So and shout out to the U.S. U.S. women's team for winning.
Before we get back to the Devils, I need to see this.
For winning their first game.
Those are pretty nice.
The U.S. women's hockey team won their first game.
That's amazing. Okay. Yay.
That's good.
I think they won yesterday.
I know, unfortunately, right now, I think one team is quarantined, right? I think it's Finland, I'm pretty sure. The women's hockey team, they have, like, a big bug going around right now. And their games are canceled.
They ate
right
too much spaghetti?
Oh, those are sick.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, they're awesome.
All right. Anyway, let's go back to, you know, Devils
here.
Back
to the Devils. What is there to say?
You know, not too much to talk about with them, but
they can't score. They suck. That's where my thoughts are as a Devils fan. I, like, don't even want to go see them. Like, it's just...
I mean, that's fair enough.
Just, like, why would I? I don't know. And I know that's not what you should say about your team, but it's just... They were doing so well, and it just crumbles every year, mm-hmm. and it's kind of getting old. And I'm sure you can relate about this year and being a Rangers fan. It's just... I don't know.
I mean, like, you know, well, first of all, let's just talk about, like, the quick little trade you guys got. I mean, get that out of the way. You got Nick Bjorkstad from the Blues. Conditional fourth rounder and Thomas Bortolo. I mean, like, nothing earth-shaking here at all. It's just, like, a nice little quick trade. He's kind of old, and he only has 1 year left on his contract. Awesome. So it's kind of interesting giving up prospects and then a fourth rounder for some guy who has 1 year left on his contract. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't re-sign. So, I don't know. It's an interesting trade here. I don't really get what the point of it was. Like, I don't really think the Devils have a shot at making any form of playoff push, so, like, I don't know, unless they really think they can, but it's kind of weird because, I mean, even over the last 6 games, they're 2-4, like, the season really feels like it's virtually over, and just making a trade like that for some old veteran at this point is just, like, it's just bizarre.
They also, the Devils and the Rangers don't know how to tank at all.
Mm.
Like, as soon as it's like, yeah, we're blowing up the team, we're done, they start winning just ridiculous games.
Yeah, it's just like...
Like just tank. The Rangers went from first in, like, the lottery draft to now
Jets
they're third.
Level stuff up
and it's
here.
Like, oh, my,
like,
goodness.
It's just... You got... Like, I don't even know. I don't even have, any coherent thoughts about it because it's literally, like, you go and see how the game went and you're like, okay, wow. Like, why did I even check? Like, why do I even care?
Yeah.
Everyone's hurt. No, like, I don't even know. And they also have a lot of people playing in the Olympics, so that'll
It feels like that those years when your team is bad, and sometimes you don't even want to open up the app afterwards because you just know you're going to check a 5-0 loss. I mean, that's what I had to do the past 4 years of my life with the Sharks. So, like, I just stopped checking the scores at some point. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. The Devils are just kind of a little bit of a mess right now. Just like the Rangers, very awkward spot. Both teams expected to be a lot better than they are. Got young talent around them. I mean, even actually, Jake Allen's not even playing that bad right now, which is kind of funny. I didn't actually really, before I actually checked the goalies, I like barely even remembered he was in the league, and he has an above .900 save percentage. So good for Jake Allen, you know, Blues legend. But anyway, you know, besides that with the Devils, I want to ask one more question before we're done here for the day. You know, Olympics are starting now. What team do you got winning it all?
Oh, the U.S.
The
Can't
US.
Say anything else.
Yeah, I feel really patriotic else. During the Olympics. Me and my friends already have plans to watch it all weekend. I'm like a more summer Olympics person, but I'll watch
Same.
Hockey and I'll watch the skiing flips or freestyle or whatever it is. And it'll be all USA. I feel like you can't betray your country. during the Olympics.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to betray my country.
No!
I'm getting myself a Macklin Celebrini Team Canada jersey.
That's ridiculous, dude.
That's crazy.
My question is, how is he from Long Island? He's a Jaguars fan, a Sharks fan, and now a Canada
fan?
Yeah,
I also have a lot of questions.
I don't respect any opinions
now.
Are
you just saying that because you want a Macklin Celebrini win, or...
The
Canada jerseys aren't even that cool.
Yeah, like, come on. It's all about the jerseys.
Not even that cool.
I wish, of course, the first year of making the Olympics, it's still really, like, weird jersey with the black maple leaf.
They just made the exact same jersey three times. And they're, like, just changed. They, like, press, like, swap on the color.
I might get the white one, honestly, instead of the red one.
A Canada one?
Yeah, like...
Why are you getting a Canada jersey?
Because Macklin Celebrini. Like, he needs that gold medal. I'm sorry. But, you know, the thing is, if USA wins, like, I'll be happy too. So, obviously, it's my own country.
That seems like you're hedging your bet. You can't hedge your bet.
No.
Yeah.
I want
Pick Canada. One.
You can't be a hedge bet patriot. You're either a patriot or you're not.
Or you're not.
I'm sorry. I want Canada to win this year because I want Macklin Celebrini to get his medal. I want him to get the golden goal, become a hero.
I want Jack Hughes to get his medal.
I don't care about
Austin Matthews. Yeah. He needs a gold medal. Austin Matthews deserves it.
He does,
he
actually.
He is America. All the guys who got in fights during the Four Nations deserve one. They defended their country.
That's fair enough. I agree with that. But sorry, I mean, even if Macklin wasn't on the roster, because if Macklin didn't make the roster, I obviously would be rooting for the U.S. But I
can't believe that, man.
But honestly, at this point, I hope the Jaguars eventually move to London. I hope you have to be a London Jaguars fan at some point in your life.
I hope not, man. That's cruel. That's really cruel what you just said. But
not supporting your country is cruel. I think there's a couple amendments that say you can't do that.
Yeah, not during the Olympics especially.
not supporting Macklin Celebrini is even cooler.
I think it's in the Bill of Rights. If you don't support the U.S. during the Olympics.
If you don't want Austin Matthews to win a gold medal, that's not allowed.
Toronto's calling your name. You can move there.
Every other sport I want.
You can go watch Maple Leaf games the rest of your life.
No. I want the U.S. to win in, but this is the one time I want Team Canada to win. So, only for Macklin. I want him his golden medal. But, anyway, even if I was rooting for the U.S., I still think Team Canada is just a wildly better team than any other team in a tournament. So, they got their goalie now, too, and Logan Thompson. So, I don't know. I kind of think it's wraps, but we'll see what happens.
They don't have freedom, so...
The
United States has freedom.
Freedom.
They don't have the Tkachuk brothers either. So.
Yeah, they don't have Austin Matthews, and they don't have freedom. So,
or
a Bill of Rights, or the amendments,
or the
Constitution.
Amendments that say you have to root for the U.S. during the Olympics.
Or the Liberty Bell.
Statue of Liberty, too. So,
or National Treasure. Canada was never involved in National Treasure, so I don't know.
Maybe that gives you something to think about.
All right, you know, I can still change my allegiance for this time, but... Right now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the rest of America out there, but I'm a Team Canada fan just for the Olympics.
All 12 people listening to this podcast.
So, besides that, that'll be it for today's show. A lot of fun, actually, today, and, I mean, really a lot of random conversations. This is the longest podcast I've been on in a long time, so that was a lot of fun. But, yeah, you know, got a lot of good stuff going on in the NHL, and now... Got a lot of good stuff going on in the Olympics. So it's going to be a really fun week, 3 weeks of Olympic hockey, and I'm really looking forward to this. I'm in Trey Rodriguez. I'm joined by my co-host Max Bitsa and Abby Cristofaro. This has been 5-on-3, and we will see you guys next week.
This has been One-on-One's 5-on-3 from WFUV Sports. Join us next week as we take you around the world of hockey. We'll see you then.